All right, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. We are going through a study in Ephesians, and let's begin our study by reading the scriptures, and if you can go to the next slide, I will read the white and you read the yellow. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Man, those are such beautiful words. It's January 2019, 61. I'm 12 years old, and I remember the words as though they were spoken yesterday as I watched these events unfold on television. And yes, we had television back then, okay? And a new president-elect was about to speak to the nation. And those of you who are old enough to remember that never forgot the line of John F. Kennedy's famous speech. He said this: "So, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you could do for your country." Now, I was going to try to train myself on the accent, and I just thought, you know, you probably wouldn't be able to understand a word I said. Steve probably would have about the closest, huh? You know. But what a line, wasn't it? That's a line that has stayed with people forever and ever. It really, I think, changed the course of how people looked at their country. And I only wish and pray that I could stir you up this morning with similar words. I think I would say to you, and I even think Paul would say to you in Ephesians 4, 11 to 13, my fellow harvesters, ask not what your church can do for you, but ask what you can do for your church. Isn't that really what he's saying? And, you know, I want to even be clear on that, because if we think that way, we're still going to have that kind of burnout area. And so let me just change it to this. Ask not what Christ can do for you, rather ask what you can do for Christ. Isn't that really the key? Is when we do it for Christ, it doesn't create that burnout, but when we do it for people, it will, right? And I'm hoping you're getting that, because it's taken me 40 or 50 years of ministry to realize that, and I'm just laying it on you for free, okay? And here's the reason: because Christ did everything for you and me. If he didn't do one more thing in life for us, we'd still be ultimately blessed, right? He did everything. And so as we see his purpose unfold for his church, we need to have the proper mindset, and God tells us we have to grow up. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We've got to grow up. He wants us to grow up. And so last week, we talked about that. We talked about how he wants us to mature in Christ until we become like Christ, and not tossed around by every wind of doctrine and teaching, but being grounded in God's word. And so let me ask you this. I was talking to a friend, and he mentioned this. Did you read your Bible this week? Or did you hear the sermon and then go on over to Denny's and forget? Did you read your Bible? I mean, the whole thing is until you read your Bible and you really kind of get a global understanding of what God's saying, it makes it tough in the Christian life. And you get, somebody comes along, oh yeah, I agree with you there, oh yeah, I agree with you there, and they don't match, and your life is goofed up, and you're thinking, man, something's not right. The answer is, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Pretty simple. And today, with all the things we have, like the phone, my phone, sorry about all that noise, we have audio phones, right? I mean, I listen to the Old Testament in audio while I'm riding my stationary bike or walking around the neighborhood. It works great. And so we have all these advantages that people before us did not have. They didn't have Bibles. They had to go to church every day and listen to the word be read. We have our Bibles, we have our phones, we have our iPod, we have everything at our disposal. So we really don't have a whole lot of reason not to read our Bibles, right? Okay, so, all right, enough interference here. So how else do we grow? We grow by becoming mature, reading our Bibles, and we get to verse 15, and he gives us the second area of growth out of three keys. And so let me just read that. But speaking the truth in love, excuse me, hang on for a second. There we go. I'm having a marvelous time with this mic. Okay. Let's read it again. 4:15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up, we being inferred, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Now, years back, during a concert at a church I was going to, we had a bunch of local groups in. I sang in a quartet. And it was a lot of fun. And a sister of a friend of mine that was there, she had this absolutely marvelous voice. It was during the Sandy Patty days, if you know what I'm talking about. And she just was really good. And so he introduced me to her after. And she said to me, you know, I was listening to you in the quartet, and I think your quality of voice would really match my voice for doing duets. And so she said, would you mind if I gave you voice training from an opera point of view, because she'd taken opera for years. And she said, I'd like to train you to sing duets with me when I do a concert. And I thought, okay, why not, right? And so so we went into training once a week. Every week we got together, and she put me through breathing exercises and how to sing right and that kind of thing. We worked 6 months on one song, 6 months every week, just on one song, one duet. And so as we began that training, she began to ask me personal questions about herself, and she said, I feel like there's something wrong in my life. She said, my family tells me one thing, but I feel like it's another. And I said, well, what are you talking about? And so she began to tell me, and I realized that her family was not telling her the truth, that what she was feeling was exactly right, and what she was being told was a lie. Now, we could say, well, not a lie, just kind of we're hedging the truth. We got all kinds of statements like that, don't we, for lying? Hedging the truth. And so I went to her brother, and I said, no, wait a minute. You are not telling her the truth. And he said, well, it's that she's pretty fragile mentally, and so we don't tell her the truth because I don't think she can handle it. And I was telling her the truth, and she was handling it fine. It was like a total relief to her. And so she began to grow, and we talked and sang together and that kind of thing. It lasted maybe about a year until finally the whole family got mad at me. And said, you know what? We don't like it that you're telling her the truth because she's fragile. And so I said, well, I think she's growing and she's doing it. And so finally, I just bowed out of the situation. And the last time I saw her, she was still living in immaturity because that kept feeding her the lies. And, you know, you might think, well, that's really a weird situation, right? It's not so weird. It happens in a lot of people's lives, and I believe that we all sometimes get involved in that in various degrees, little to a lot. And like, for instance, honey, how does this dress look? It doesn't look so good, right? I've just got to a place, I just tell Debbie, you know what, I don't like it. And she'll go, okay, thanks. And she's glad because she wants to look good. But guys, how many of you are that truthful with your wife? She puts on a dress and you go, oh yeah, that's pretty, because you know she loves it. She's just hoping you love it, right? Do you think I'm good at whatever? And they're not. Do you think I'm a mature Christian? And they're not. Do you think I'm an angry person? You know, a research group from the University of Massachusetts concluded that after testing hundreds of people, that when they set up a 10-minute conversation, they found on the average, people lied 3 times during that 10-minute conversation. And according to the Day America Told the Truth, huge study, they found out that 80% of the time, 86%, all the way through life, the kids lied to their parents, not just when they were little, but all through their life, 86% of the time, they fudged the truth. Followed by friends at 75% of the time, followed by siblings at 73% of the time, and spouses 69% of the time. But what's God's answer to all this? Well, I want to go to Ephesians 4:25, and we'll be hitting that pretty soon. Therefore, put away telling the truth. Put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. In our verse, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things unto him who is head, Christ. You know, I can remember in our marriage, young in our marriage, Debbie would confront me with things, and I wouldn't confront her back, because I just hated telling the truth to her. And I was raised in a family where you got rejected if you told the truth. You know, there's a big elephant in the living room, right? And we just didn't talk about it. And so I wouldn't tell her. Finally, and she says, why won't you tell me? And I said, because you cry and you do these things. And so she said, so let me get this straight. You don't love me enough to tell me the truth. I thought, whoa. I thought, you know what? She's right. And I do need to love her. And so I started telling her the truth, and pretty soon she calmed down, and now she handles the truth really well. Guys, are you hearing me? Because guys have a hard time with that. Don't you guys? Come on, confess. You have a hard time. And somewhere along the line, you learn that you've got to tell the truth. And I think that's what Paul's saying here. No matter what your relationships are, but speaking the truth in love. Right? We may grow up into all things into him who is the head, Christ. And you may find reasons for falsifying things, and maybe you are trying to protect yourself. You're trying not to go through that hassle or intense discussion or receive the anger or even denial, because some people just all of a sudden go into denial, or they reject you, and you got to tackle that too. So a lot of times we don't tell the truth. We beat around the bush. And the result is no growth. They don't grow up in Christ. And they lose, and you lose. And so you keep it in, and you keep it in, and you keep it in till there's an explosion. Right? And then all of a sudden you explode, and then you think, oh man, my mate's so angry. Well, yeah, because you're not talking about it on a regular basis. And then the truth begins to sound like a lie because it gets exaggerated because it's too uncontrolled to be loving. Speaking, now I want to just bear down on 4:15 a little bit. But speaking or telling the truth in love, it means truthing. It actually says truthing in love. It's an action. It's a verbal action, truthing in love, that we may grow up into the all. Now, you remember last week or the week before I talked about the all? It's talking about the body of Christ. And what he's saying is that we need to truth in love that we may grow up into him as the body of Christ, who Christ is the head. That's what it really literally is saying. But truthing in love, we might grow up into him, into the all, who the head is, Christ. Now, when I first started counseling, and I've been counseling for, before I became a Christian, I was a counselor, and so it's probably been 43, 44 years. I remember that I would always hedge the truth with people because I didn't think they could handle it. Right? And so I would give them pieces of the truth, but never tell them the complete truth. And at times, there may be times when we have to hold back with people, because maybe you, if you told them the whole truth, you'd be dumping too much and they couldn't get it, you know. But there is that aspect. But I wouldn't tell them the truth. I just give a piece here and a piece here, and I thought they were doing good, and they just never seemed to grow. Finally, one day, I thought, you know what? And people loved coming to me because they thought they could BS me. with all kinds of stuff, and I would listen and give him a little bit of truth. And finally, one day, I thought, you know what? I am going to stop doing this. I'm just going to tell him the truth because their time's short, right? And since then, hardly anybody's come to me. No, I finally came to the place. I thought, wait a minute, the scripture says truthing in love. Why am I not truthing? And so you may be the same way. You may hedge around and tell a few truths and think you're telling the truth. But are you really telling the truth? Are you really telling the truth? Now, you're all staring at me with one of those, I hope he gets done with this, or I'm massively convicted, or I don't even understand what you're saying. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Okay, all right. When you get like that, I realize it is either conviction or bored. They look exactly the same, by the way, if you speak, don't they? I mean, when you speak to an audience, and they do that, it's either conviction or boredom, and you can't tell the difference because you look down, right? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Since we're to truth in love, or truthing in love, I want to just go through a little bit of 1 Corinthians 13 with the time we have left. I know Jamie went to get me water. I do need it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let's start with verse 4. Love suffers long. Love is patient, and in the word that in the original means long time patience. It just doesn't mean patience. Long time patience. It means it's not explosive, it's gentle, it's loving, it doesn't jump immediately, it waits for a patient moment, not months, but minutes or hours. In fact, I look at Ephesians 4:26. It says, thank you, sweetie. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. So in other words, when we tell the truth, we need to do it within a day frame, right? You get out there a little farther and you go, oh, well, it's just not worth it. Love is kind. Not much to say. It's not harsh. It's not angry. It respects the other person. It treats the other person the way they want to be treated. Love does not envy. It isn't about manipulation or an ulterior motive behind it. Love does not parade itself. It's not proud. I'm better than you. I'm more spiritual. You know those kind of people that feel like they got the edge on you. It isn't that way. That's parading itself. It's not a win-lose situation. I win, you lose. Because you're both on the same team, right? And it's not puffed up. It's not truthing in I know more than you attitude, and which causes no growth. Love does not behave itself rudely, and so when we tell the truth, we're not to be rude. We're not to seek our own. We're trying to seek the other person's good by telling them the truth. It's not provoked. It doesn't tell it in anger and meanness. It doesn't think of evil. It's not about hating the other person. I hate you. I'm going to tell you the truth so it mars you, it hurts you like you've hurt me. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity. It isn't happy and gloating when the other person gets hammered. Boy, it's really easy to do that, isn't it? Boy, when somebody else gets it, and they've really caused a lot of pain in your life, it's hard not to go, man, do they deserve that? Well, we do too, don't we? Bears all things. It bears up with one another. You remember Ephesians 4:2 when we went through with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. And then the next one says, love believes all things. Man, I love this thing. I never did get that for a long time because it's like, wait a minute, people lie to you all the time. That's what we're talking about today. And so I remember one time I was meditating on love believes all things, and I was working at this company. I was an operations manager. And so I had this shipper kid that came in all the time to tell on everybody else that took over 15 minutes on their break. right? He'd come in and say, well, they were in there 17 minutes. And I just want you to know, Steve, because I care about this company and you, and I just want you to know that. And it felt like manipulation, and I'm sure it was. So one day I thought, you know what? When he comes in, I'm just going to look at him and believe him. Because it says love believes all things. And if I love him, I'm going to believe what he says. So he comes in. He says, Steve, I came in to tell you. It was almost 19 minutes before they got up and went back to their workstations. And he said, I just wanted to tell you this because I care about the company and I care about you. And I said, you know what? I so appreciate you doing that. I appreciate that you love me and I appreciate that you love this company and those kids. And he turned purple. I mean, he didn't just turn red, he turned purple, and he got discombobulated, and he got up and walked out, and he never talked to me about it again. And I thought, wow, what an interesting reaction that was, just to believe him. And yet we kind of have to do that, even if the stories don't match, because so most of the time for people, truth is a perception of the truth, right? They believe in perceptions, and so you have to work with those perceptions. Hopes all things. We hope and expect that we'll all grow up in Christ. That when we tell each other the truth, it's worth it because we're going to grow into Christ. Endures all things. It takes the hits. It takes the loving confrontation. Because Christ took the loving confrontation, we can too. Love never fails. There's no time when that doesn't work. No time when we hold out and hold out and say, you know what, I quit. I quit being your friend. I quit being your husband. I quit being your wife, whatever. Love never fails. And when we throw in the towel, I don't know. You know what I'm saying. God is truth. The worship team will come up. We're going to participate in the Lord's Supper, and I really would like us to think about how much the fact that Christ told the truth, and he dealt in truth. In fact, I love this verse, and I copied it out, and I think you do too, out of John. And he says, Thomas says to him, and you remember Thomas was a doubter, Lord, we do not know where you are going. Because he'd tell him he's going to a place to prepare a place. We do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the truth. But I love that he is the truth. And we have to be able to bear up and tell the truth, but we've got to do it in love like Christ did. And so we contemplate Paul's words here of truthing in love so that we can grow up, because here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. You will not grow in Christ unless you hear the truth. Do you hear that? You will not grow in Christ unless you hear the truth. Do I need to say it again? Okay. You will not grow in Christ unless you can accept the truth. And when you hear the truth, it makes you grow. And it makes you strong. And it makes all the fruits of the Spirit come out into your life. But when you don't listen to the truth, you stay down there, way down there where you are, and you never grow back out of that. You become self-absorbed. You become all these kind of things. You get goofed up. You talk about the fog. Boy, I'd love a nickel for every time somebody said that things are foggy for me, right? So you tell the truth. So I'm just asking you this morning that you might make a commitment, especially you married couples, but all of us. Tell each other the truth. Go through the crying, go through the pain, go through those things, but tell the truth. So much healthier and grow, much stronger, better growth, way to go as a couple. And for all of you, no matter where you are, to be able, in love, tell the truth, right? Let's worship together. And then as they begin to play, you just go get your cup and your bread and come back to your chair, and then we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper together. The truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Don't you love those words? The way, the truth, and the life. So my friends, he knew the only way he could be the way, the truth, and the life is to die for us. And so he broke the bread with his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you." And let's remember him this morning. And then took the cup and said, "This cup represents my blood which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And let's remember our Lord together. Father, we come this morning thanking you so much. You're amazing. Lord, help us to be truth tellers. It's hard, Lord. And you know, you can know our mind and you know how hard it is. Help us to come to grips with being truth tellers. For you who have come this morning and maybe you've come looking for a relationship with Christ, the Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and that the wages of that sin is death. But it goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he gives us a scripture that tells us exactly what we need to do. And it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So I'm going to say a little prayer. If I'm talking to you this morning, you just pray this prayer with me. And the prayer goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and life. And be the Lord of my life. God, I believe that you rose from the dead, just as the verse said, and that you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today. While our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, will you raise your hand up, put it back down? Let God know you meant business. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Father, we love it that today people are raising their hand to come back to you. Coming to a heart of worship like we just sang. We thank you so much, Lord. Lord, we just want you to be honored and praised this morning as we go from here. And may we remember to read our Bibles because that's truth. And that we will look to you because you're truth and that we'll tell the people around us the truth in a loving and kind and patient manner. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.